And welcome to another episode of the Weekly Roundup with Alex and Dan. I'm Dan.
And I am Alex.
So we're just going to do a bit of a roundup, aren't we? We haven't recorded for a while and a lot has happened in the last few weeks.
It has. Well, we haven't done a roundup in a while. I think last week, if you haven't caught it up yet, we've released the Ant-Man and the Wasp DVD release.
Oh, fantastic film.
Which is very, very good. So we've got a review on there.
Tune in, see what our thoughts were on that one.
But yeah, we've got quite the literally the roundup this week, haven't we?
Yeah, so we're going to start off with the big screen. So this week we've had the drop of not one but two trailers from Marvel Studios,
which we almost are spoilt, aren't we? This week.
Oh God, yeah. So let's talk about the Avengers trailer first.
There is surprisingly right. I mean, it's what two? Just looking at the screen here, 2:25 long. But it's really only a teaser.
It doesn't give a lot away.
It doesn't, but it keeps us still enough to keep us tantalisingly interested.
Gives us the title as well. So the Russo brothers always said it wouldn't be something that was mentioned in Infinity War. However, it has been titled Endgame.
And now I don't trust them.
No, I don't.
They lied to us. They said it was categorically not something that was said. And everyone did say it was going to be Endgame because... Yep. Doctor Strange says that on Titan, just before they lay the trap for Thanos.
We're in the endgame now.
They said it's definitely not going to be endgame, so don't worry about that. And it is. So
yeah.
I no longer trust the Russo. Sorry for listening, guys. Cracking films, but you just straight up lied to us.
Yeah.
That's not cool, man.
Now, for anyone that wants an interesting fact about Endgame, it's actually a term used in chess.
Mm.
When there are a few pieces left on the board and a checkmate is sure to occur. Again, what's going to happen in the film that's going to make it an Endgame, so to speak?
So we're saying that Thanos has checked the universe and it's the Avengers now to do the checkmate.
And he has wiped out 50% of the universe.
He actually has, and that's what we see in the trailer. So... For people who haven't seen the trailer, just give us a bit of a rundown, Dan. What happens in this one?
We sort of start off and Tony's on what looks like what used to be the Guardians of the Galaxy ship.
Yep.
It's not the Milano anymore, is it? It's
no, something else. That one got disintegrated at the end of the first Guardians film, I think. And
yeah.
The people of, was it Nova, gave them a new ship.
Yeah.
As thanks for saving the world, which is... I think a measly thank you personally. But anyway, so yes, he's on a ship. It's floating in space and
he's got his Iron Man helmet and he's recording messages to Pepper.
It's his farewell note, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a day left and you can see him just sort of sweating it out.
Just for the record, being adrift in space with zero promise of rescue is more fun than it sounds.
He doesn't look good and he looks like we've got Nebula on the ship with him as well.
Which makes sense, because they were the only two left on Titan after everyone else went to dust.
Yeah. And then it sort of cuts to Avengers headquarters, where we've got Black Widow and Steve talking, or Captain America.
Yeah, and things are looking a little bit bare. So they're going through a couple of they go from an aerial shot of the facility, which usually has you know people training in the background, and the car park's full of tactical vehicles. It's empty.
Yeah.
It's a concrete jungle. It's desolate.
And you got Steve... See a tear just
one solitary down, tear
one solitary tear
falling down his cheek because he's missing his mate Bucky. Cause
yeah,
Bucky was one of the first to evaporate.
Sad times.
And then there's something which I think a lot of people actually teased or kind of guessed because this character was particularly notably missing from the Avengers film. It's of course Hawkeye. So Jeremy Renner is now back as Hawkeye, but he's not really Hawkeye, I guess, from what's confirmed now in the scene.
He looks badass. He's got this massive samurai sword. He's swiping it across his arm, and he turns around and looks at Black Widow.
And he's Ronan.
You have no idea how excited I was to see Jeremy Renner in a trailer for the first time since Civil War. I believe.
Yes, because he would have last we've seen him would have been in was it Stuttgart Airport
Yep.
at the fire. We haven't seen him since, so one assumes his well, no, tell a lie. He was in the raft, wasn't he? He
Yes.
was locked up by Stark, but there's mention at Ant-Man and the Wasp that he was released, along with Ant-Man for for good behavior and under house arrest. So he perhaps gone back to his family.
Yeah.
But as we theorized in the trailer, if you haven't again seen our trailer breakdown, we have done an episode on that one. It looks like he's a little bit upset because he started to kill people, and that's not kind of what an Avenger does. So that's really good to see that he's coming back. And then well, it finishes off with well the latest review we just done. It was it's Ant-Man. He's at the front door.
He's like, "Hey guys, can you let me in?"
"This is Scott Lang. We met a few years ago at the airport in Germany. I got really big."
"Is this an old message?"
Ant-Man, I know you know that."
"It's the front door."
"That's me. Can you buzz me in?"
And you got Steve and Black Widow. And they're like, is this a message? Is it a message? Doesn't look like it.
Is it the front door?
He's at the front door in his little Ant-Man van and waiting to come in.
Which has the, I think it's the quantum generator. It's the same van, so I checked it, sound of the lamb. I checked it with the final scenes of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it's the same van.
Same van.
So one assumes somehow he's found his way out of the quantum realm without the help of his friends and family, who are now dust. And he's still got the back of the car. Yeah. Now, I think that's the way in which they're going to have be able to undo everything that Thanos has done, go back in time, and ultimately checkmate the universe. But we shall see. But I mean, again, it doesn't really show you too much. It just kind of picks off, I guess, what, a couple of weeks after the closing credits of the last film. But nonetheless, it gives us something to look forward to, because that comes out in, they've moved it up now to April.
Yeah,
because it was May before, I think. So we really haven't got long to wait for the next installment.
About 4 months, I reckon.
Yeah. So happy days. And interesting enough, it was number one, it's now number two currently on the or the day that we're recording.
Most viewed trailer of all time.
Of all time. Millions upon millions of people have kept that loop on, like we are now in the studio. And we are contributing to, it looks like it's 50 million views at the minute.
And I think worldwide, over all platforms, last time I looked last night, it was 278 million. Which is incredible.
It's quite the achievement. So, that has dropped. You're not going to be able to miss it if you Google it on YouTube. You haven't seen it. Give that a look and let us know your thoughts.
Absolutely. And then we had the second trailer, which was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Again, didn't give too much away. Very similar to the previous one, although we get to see a lot more of a younger Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep.
We do. Looks wonderful.
It does. And, it's, I think it's true to say it's a continuation, as you say, Dan, of the first one. We see a little bit more of the fight scenes. We see her more in her suits. It shows, I think it gives more focus on the fact of she's had this memory issue. She doesn't remember where she's come from, although we get an insight into perhaps why. So she's in a crash of some description. She's rescued by someone. She's given these powers.
Yeah.
So she's no longer, I mean, these powers aren't by seemingly the rest of her crew in the green suits. They didn't have these before when she's a Kree. She's given these powers as a result of someone saving her life. And she's given some flashbacks. So she's pretty certain that she's had a life on Earth. So I think it's all about her understanding where she's come from, who she is now, finding a new identity. But ultimately, it's going to lead to her turning up in Infinity War.
Yeah.
So again, this is set in the, is it the early 90s?
I think it's the late 90s. I think we're looking about 99, from what I can understand.
Okay. So, it's what she'd be doing for this time, 20-odd years.
I mean, it sort of confirms the theory where you see the blood transfusion in. They sort of say, oh, it's going to keep you a bit younger.
So you could live longer, stronger, superior.
So actually, the Carol Danvers we'll probably see in Infinity War probably wouldn't have aged,
which makes sense, but what is she doing kicking around the universe at the minute? Is she Is she in the quantum realm? Is she... I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting one. I mean, again, it's not really laid out in a way it tells a story.
No.
It's a bit scattered. You sort of see flashbacks. Interesting question for you, actually. So one of my friends messaged me in the week and he said, what do you think about Jude Law being in a Marvel film?
I mean, he's in Fantastic Beasts and he's playing Dumbledore. And the only reason why I come to that is because that's a more recent kind of portrayal of the character. I think it kind of works, but the timeline doesn't match. But I know it's a different franchise. But he's transitioned into that role. It kind of makes sense. Marvel film... I just wonder whether he's just a bit too dry. You know what I mean? Like, he has the charm, but you need someone in a Marvel film to have charisma and to have, you know, that gravitas. I'm just not sure if he brings that to a character. I mean, if you put him up with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
If you put him up against Chris Evans, you put him up against Downey Jr., okay, so he's well known, but is he a strong enough character to be one of the main ones? And I really don't think so, personally. But you know, he just seems to be a mentor kind of role in this. So perhaps that's all we need for him from this particular film.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Marvel don't usually get it wrong with their actors and actresses, but I think we'll find out in February, March when the film drops.
Yeah, casting tends to be spot on, so I'm sure they're onto something particularly.
On to much smaller things. So we're going to the small screen now with Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
We have just heard Daredevil's been cancelled in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so in the previous episode we covered off the fact that they were binning off Iron Fist, Luke Cage. Were they going to ditch Daredevil? But even though Daredevil, the latest season 3, is an absolute corker, it's a banger, and very well received on the platform.
I mean, you've raved about season 3 to me, and I'm
season
like,
season 3 is immense.
I need to get around to watch it, because you said there was a scene where Kingpin and...
Yeah, Kingpin and Karen are together, and it's another almost continuous shot, and nothing, it's just a conversation, right? There's no action, he's not beating her up, which would be savage. They're just having a talk, but it's edgy your seat stuff, and it's not often that I have my mouth open in absolute awe of this scene, and the screenplay was absolutely phenomenal. It's a fantastic season through and through. It's obviously well received by the audience, but Marvel Netflix have jointly cancelled, which again just goes to show that they are pushing ahead and going to transition over to the new Disney streaming service. But is that the right thing to do? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the agreement was based upon, but I'm pretty sure Netflix would have made an absolute ton off Daredevil, people signing up, watching the seasons. I think they've lost out massively. Perhaps they should put their hands in their pockets or done a different deal with Daredevil specifically. But anyway, it's gone. It's done.
Yeah, I think the advantage you get with Disney streaming services, you can now start tying things more into the films.
Do you reckon?
Possibly, but then I don't know if Disney are looking to go, oh, well, we could make more money here.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the latter.
I'd like to think they're going to start... I mean, me and my mate Ian always talk about this, how we'd love them to be able to marry up the TV shows to films. Because you've got some fantastic casting. Charlie Cox in an Avengers film or, you know, a Spider-Man film would work so, so well. But they've kept them separate. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I've lost touch with that after, I think, it's season 3. I don't think they're on season 5 or 6 now. But you've got Coulson. Now, Coulson returns in the aforementioned Captain Marvel with Samuel Jackson in S.H.I.E.L.D. But he's still alive.
Mm. Yeah.
And for those who don't watch the TV show, they don't know that. And he's still kicking around in modern times after supposedly he died in Avengers. So to have him come back into the proper family would be a really great homecoming. But at the minute, they haven't done it. And I think it's such a shame because they've got some amazing talent and storylines there, which are forking off the main films.
Yeah.
And they need to almost bring it back in. But in doing so, they acknowledge perhaps the not-so-great stuff in the TV show. So that's the only positive I can probably see of bringing it back into the Disney family.
Yeah. I mean, no real confirmation on Jessica Jones yet, but you've got to think.
Oh, it's got to go. That show is appalling.
I thought it was terrible.
I haven't seen much of the second one. I'm a massive Marvel fan, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, but I just can't do it anymore with Kristen Ritter being a miserable alcoholic. I've sat through a whole season of it, the first season. I thought, okay, that's enough. Second season, changed the tune, man. It got old. So it's got to go. It's the final one in the puzzle to get binned off. It's got to.
I mean, I think I mentioned this in the previous episode as well. Like last year, I was quite ill just before Christmas. And I remember trying to sit down and watch Jessica Jones. I thought, this is terrible.
And it made you feel even worse.
It made me feel even worse. Yeah. So I was just like, I'm going to crump on the sofa, curl up and die. Yeah. It wasn't a good first episode. No. And I couldn't revisit again. It just wasn't good. No. So on to the music front. So as people might have heard on the previous podcast where we spoke about our favourite bands.
Yep.
I just want to touch on a couple of them.
Yeah, crack on.
So Def Leppard are on tour next year.
Ah, excellent.
So they'll be touring the UK. They've just recently smashed Brixton Academy, which is their biggest gig ever, and it looks amazing.
I love the venue, it's fantastic. So what is that? Was that a recorded gig or was that just a live?
I think it's been recorded. I could only speculate, only because from the videos I've seen on Instagram and YouTube, that you see cameras sort of dotted around.
All right.
And they did upload a video on Instagram yesterday where it looks a bit pro shot. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know a lot of Pomponians listen to this podcast.
Is that the name? I mean, you'd know because you follow Portsmouth Football Club. Are we called Pomponians?
Pomponians, yeah. Okay. Or Portsmouth folk to those that aren't from Portsmouth, but
I'm not aware of the simple and kind folk on the south coast of England.
If you are a Def Leppard fan, or if you want to check them out, and you do end up liking them, they are playing the Pyramids on Saturday the 16th of March. But if you're not, just have a look on the website and see where they're playing local to you, and yeah, get down. They're an amazing band.
Yeah, really good. We again, as you say, Dan, we covered off. I think it was Music Week over at the TRAD. Probably a couple of months ago now.
Yeah.
And that was a really good episode. So if you haven't listened to it, if you fancy a bit of a change of scene from all the Marvel nonsense we drone on about, have a look a couple of episodes before, because we do cover off Def Havana there as well.
And lastly on the music front is one of our favourite bands, one that both me and Alex like, Lower Than Atlantis, this week announced their breakup, which is a bit sad, especially for me, that I've got them into recently, and I was sort of hoping to hear a bit more.
Hugely unexpected, at least for me. I mean, I don't know much about the goings on in the band, but did they give a reason as to why?
No, not really. I think it was just it's come to an end now, and it's a bit of a natural progression. And
because it was signed to quite a significant record label, wasn't it? Sony, they're on, I think.
I'm not too sure on that one.
I'm pretty sure they signed to quite a big record label.
It was quite a big record label
for them to no longer be. You know, to be making music is it's a shock to me, because as you say, Dan, you know, they are a great band. It's a shame.
But they have announced the last tour to sort of wrap things up nicely, which will be happening early May next year.
Okay.
So again, tune to their website and just see what dates they've got planned. Yeah. I don't think it's many, but if you can try and get them and check them out,
give them a final farewell.
Yeah. Mm. So. Last but not least, we're on a bit of a heavier note now.
Right, yes.
I mean, it's been two or three weeks now but we have recently lost the Marvel icon and legend that is Stan Lee.
Yeah, so the godfather of Marvel, really. I mean, he created so many iconic characters just from the comics alone. I mean, we're not even talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you know, and how he helped to transition those favourite characters from childhood onto the silver screen so fantastically. And yeah, he's passed away. Was it 93, I think, or he was an older gentleman, but nonetheless, he was much loved and sadly missed.
Yeah, I mean, some wonderful facts about him. He actually started off as an assistant at Timely Comics, which actually went on to become Marvel Comics a bit later on. And it was only because DC was starting to push out characters that I think the guy that owned it, Martin Goodman at the time, said, you need to go away and start doing something similar. And if it wasn't for his wife, who said who pushed him essentially to write what he wanted to do, we might not necessarily seen characters like Spider-Man, Captain America come to light.
No.
Although Captain America was in timely comics, so he was being written for the war, essentially.
Yeah.
For feel good. But yeah, he actually came up with a pseudonym because of the low social status of comics at the time, which is why he went from being Stanley Lieber to Stan Lee.
Stanley Liebert.
Stanley Lieber.
Mm. Al Lieber.
Yeah. So a couple of fun facts as well. So he collaborated with Jack Kirby to create the Fantastic Four. So again, Jack recently passed away, I think, in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But they were based on a superhero team that Jack invented for DC Comics.
Oh, right.
Who were actually known as the Challengers of the Unknown, but DC weren't interested.
And more for them. Well, not on recent rebooted efforts, but I mean, I think the Fantastic Four are going to be rebooted again.
Yeah.
In living memory to join the expanded MCU. So the egg might still be on the DCU's face.
I mean, they've started pushing Fantastic Four comics again now, which is now being written by former Spider-Man writer Dan Slott.
Mm-hmm. And so it's in safe hands.
It's in safe hands.
And yeah, I think we're going to be seeing on the silver screen very, very shortly.
I mean, due to the Fantastic Four success, he and Jack co-created Hulk, Thor, Iron Man and the X-Men. He co-created Daredevil with Bill Everett.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange with Steve Ditko. And of course, Marvel's most successful character, arguably, Spider-Man. Also, ladies and gentlemen, respect the hyphen.
Yeah.
Respect the hyphen.
So, I mean, he's a creative genius. He has achieved so much in his career. And we asked the listeners, to give us your thoughts on, you know, what were your favourite memories or reflections on this fantastic creator and writer. We had some people write in. So one of them on Facebook, Gavin. Thanks for your comments, Gavin. So he said that he's most favourite memory or part of Stan Lee is when he springs up at the end of these Marvel films. Or
oh, yeah.
During the Marvel
the
films.
The cameos.
Yeah, the cameos. And he was saying how Stan, his favourite one of all of them, is Stan the alien cutting Thor's hair in Thor Ragnarok.
It's great.
Which is funny. And also, he mentions about a Big Hero 6 cameo as well as being a favourite, which I'm pretty sure is about his son.
Yeah.
Because he's got a little boy, Gavin. So, great scenes that he features in.
We have one from Chris, and he said, "When I think of Stan Lee, I think of Spider-Man. He did a wonderful thing, but he also shows that human side. Stan gave us a whole world we love." And I totally agree. I totally agree with this because, as I say, when you look at the characters Stan created, he didn't just make them perfect superheroes. They had background problems. So when you think of Peter Parker,
yeah.
He had girlfriend problems, money problems. He was being bullied at school.
He had to study for that particular test.
Yeah,
always seemed to come up every couple of weeks.
He had
normal day to day. Boring,
yeah.
Non-superhero issues, and I think that's what made him so kind of an enjoyable character. He wasn't infallible like Superman.
No, exactly.
Superman has no want or need other than Lois Lane and the sun. That's literally all that the Man of Steel needs. But when you look at, like Peter Parker, he's a teenage boy.
He's just an ordinary guy.
And there's a lot going on for a teenage boy at school.
I own a couple of the Amazing Spider-Man omnibuses, and I can still recall, like, he would get injured, like he'd break an arm,
yeah.
And he'd be in a sling, or he would get the common cold, and you'd see him struggling, like, oh, I've got a cold, but I still need to go fight the Vulture, or whatever. Yeah, no, it was fantastic, and that was something DC wasn't really doing, and that's why Marvel was able to sort of push on and actually increase their sales and push on ahead. And you think DC was set up long before Marvel, 10, 20 years before.
And they'll survive the test of time as well, I'm sure, both of them.
I mean, going back to the cameos, what was your favourite Stan Lee cameo?
I think there's quite a few, right? The one that I really enjoy that comes to mind is probably in, I think it's Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, where he is in the library.
Yeah, I know the scene.
And he's got his earphones on, he's a librarian, he's got his back to a scene, and Spider-Man's bouncing around the the library, getting books thrown at him and bookshelves, and he's oblivious to this because he's listening to some music or something, and it's all going on around him, and that's a great scene because it's so unexpected, and he's just there front and center, you know, absolutely unaware that the world around him is coming crashing down because of a superhero fight in the background.
I think for me, my favourite one, I'm going to go with the one in Civil War. So you've had this heavy film, the superheroes have all broken up, and you've got Tony and Rhodey talking, and then he turns up in the FedEx van, and he looks at his partner and goes, "Are you Tony Stank?
Are you Tony Stank?
Yes, this is Tony Stank. You're in the right place. Thank you for that." Never dropping that, by the way. "Table for one, Mr. Stank. Please, by the bathroom."
And it's, I think it's it really does kind of just bring that light relief, which is needed, because as you say, it's a little bit of a sad note at the end of that film. The superhero family have disbanded. You know, Rhodey is on the road to recovery, but still pretty messed up. And this elderly delivery man just
turns up as like, "Hey, Mr. Stank."
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think that part of that was ad-libbed, especially when Rhodey's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to let that drop. Table for one."
Yeah.
Tony Stank. Love it. Fantastic. Yeah, a wonderful man, a sad loss,
nice, definitely.
But a very good life, and has given us characters that we love in the pages all the way through to the big screen.
And his legacy will continue, obviously, through the works of his creations for many years to come, and to have that kind of legacy is absolutely phenomenal. So
I think it will outlive us all.
Most definitely. You know, it's part of our societal makeup now. You know, the Marvel films, superheroes, comics. It is it's a common household name, Spider-Man and Marvel. So he's done a fantastic, you know, effort to champion comic books and the imagination. And he'd be sadly missed, but what a legacy.
What a legacy. So that rounds up for this episode. Unless there's anything else you...
No, nothing else from me other than the listener. Check us out on any other podcast that you listen to us on. We are on Apple Podcasts, Anchor. Shout out to Anchor. If you want to leave us some comments, some thoughts or otherwise, or some feedback, then you can do so on our Facebook page.
We've got Instagram.
We've got Twitter.
And you can also leave us a voice message.
You can. You can. So if you're not too sure what that means, they're a great startup. And then search for us under Alex and Dan. You'll see us there with our logo. Click on the page. You can see all of our episodes. But on the top right-hand corner, it's leave us a message. And you can actually leave a voice recording. And then that way, then, we can play your luscious voice through the airwaves and respond directly to your query, question, or your thoughts. So please get in contact with us in any medium. But otherwise, for another week, I've been Alex.
I've been Dan.
And that's been the Weekly Roundup, and we'll see you next week.